Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
The song that comes to my mind.
I have a reason to praise the Lord. I have a reason to praise the Lord. I have a reason to praise the Lord. I have a reason.
You're not singing for me, but for the Lord. That was Taster. You can see today I'm ready. I'm ready to dance. And nobody should hold me. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right, it's Thanksgiving service, and I want to show you something. You're listening to me, right?
Yes, Pastor.
I've started. Thanksgiving works miracles.
Yes.
There's no other way to put it. And in the Word of God, Jesus showed us how that happens. How it happens that when you give thanks, there will be miracles. And so I want to show you today. Go to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Now, if you didn't come here with a Bible, pay attention to me. But if you did come here with a Bible, look into your Bible. Don't assume you know. Matthew 13, verse 12. If you're there, say, I'm there.
I'm there.
If you're not there, say, wait for me. All right, we're waiting. We're waiting. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Some of us are not responding. God has a special blessing for all those that respond to me. Yes, the angels of God dropping it on their head. Once you respond, one. Praise the Lord. All right, if you're there, say, I'm there.
I'm there.
Verse 12, I read it. Is it in red? Yes. That means Jesus is talking. And when Jesus is talking, you pay attention because he has something to say that will change your life. Verse 12, he says, for whosoever hath, that means the one that has something, whosoever hath, to him shall be given. That means the man who has something, they'll give him something. Let's look at this. It says, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more what? Abundance. So he had something. And because he got something, he would have more in what? Abundance. This is Jesus talking, and he's not joking. He's saying, whoever has something, God will give him more in abundance. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let's finish this verse. He says, but whosoever hath not, he should say he doesn't have. He should not deceive himself. Is that what the Bible says? Look into your Bible. He says, but whosoever hath not, he should complain that he doesn't have. After all, he doesn't have now. Is that what he said? He says, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that he hath. This is an irony. Did you notice something here?
Yes, Pastor.
Hey, pay attention to me, especially those of you at the back. He says, but whosoever had not, that means he doesn't have. Jesus said, the man that doesn't have, this is what will happen to him. He has told us what will happen to the man that has.
Now he says, the money doesn't have. He says, from him shall be taken away even that he what? He had. That means he had something. Are you in this place?
Yes,
he had something. But he thought he didn't have. And so Jesus said, even that thing which he had would be taken away from him. Now, this is not a surprise. You have the guy who loses his job, they sack him. That means he thinks he has lost his source of income. And very soon, because he's focusing so much on the fact that he doesn't have a job, he'll lose his car. He'll sell it. He'll lose his house. He'll sell it. He'll lose his health. 1 minute it was okay. Now he lost his job. All of a sudden he has cancer. And last bus stop, he'll lose his life. When he lost his job, he could have gone around telling people, now I have nothing, but he was lying because he was still alive. He had something. But Jesus is saying that because he did not recognize that he had something, even that thing that he had would be what? Taken away. That means he won't give it. Someone will come and steal it. Jesus said, the thief cometh not, but for to do what? To steal, to kill, and to what? To destroy. To destroy. So what he's trying to tell us is everybody has something. You have something. If you don't recognize that you do, the thief would come and take it from you. I mean, the story I just shared, some of you know examples like that. Once the man lost his job of 20 years, everything scattered. Why did everything have to scatter? Was he not greater than the job? He was. He had cars. He had everything. His children were going to good schools. Now he lost the job. Everything over. Why? Because he didn't recognize. He focused too much on what he lost instead of focusing on what he had. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now this verse, Matthew 13, is actually talking about knowledge. Let's go up. 13. Verse 11. He said, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. So really, what he's talking about here is knowledge. He's saying the one who says he knows something would have more knowledge. Are you with me?
Yes, Pastor.
Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
The one who thinks he doesn't know anything, even what he has will be taken away from him. For example, you have people who say, I don't know Bible. This is my small brain. I don't know anything in God's word. They think they are sounding humble, but it's wrong. When Jesus walked on the earth, he didn't say, I don't know. No. He said, no man knoweth the Son save the Father, and the Father save the Son. So he said, no man knows God like I do. Paul the apostle never said he didn't know anything. He said, I might be rude in speech, but not in knowledge. Now, would you know everything? Maybe not. But you have to admit you know something. And that's why when I see people who have difficulties reading their Bible understanding, it starts with how they think about themselves. They already think, I don't know Bible. This Bible, I don't know it. It's very complicated. And so that becomes their experience. But in knowledge, you can increase in knowledge. That's what he's saying. Once you admit that you know, okay, at least we all know John 3 verse 16. Okay, you don't know John 3 verse 16? We all know the grace. You know it in the Bible.
Yes.
At least you know something. You can start from there. But don't be an ignorant Christian. It's when it comes to the word of God that people think ignorance is humility. You hear the guy saying, even as I'm talking to you, I'm talking to myself. This is my, how do you think my small brain can understand God? But let's try. He's insulting himself. And people in the audience are saying, small brain. Only in the house of God. But God doesn't want that to be your story. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right, so I said this verse was talking about knowledge. But let me say the one that some people are interested in. I'll be really fast today. Money. Go to Luke chapter 19. Luke 19.
If you're there, say, I'm there.
I'm here.
What's the verse? Let's start from verse 24. Luke 19, verse 24. If you're there, say, I'm there.
I'm there.
If you're not there, say, wait for me. Am I waiting for anybody? All right, 24. I'll read it. Jesus is talking. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound. Pound is money. Even today we have pound sterling. Do you understand? But here, pound meant money. He says, 24. Take from him the pound and give it to him that had 10 pounds. So something had happened here. I don't want to go into that. But he looked at this man that has 10 pounds, looked at that man that had 1 pound. He said, take from him the pound and give it to this one that has 10 pounds. That means you have what? 11. Verse 25. And they said unto him, Lord, he had what? 10 pounds. They are complaining. They are complaining. They said, Lord, he already has 10. Like the guy, have you ever seen people? They just grow bigger and bigger. 1 minute he has Toyota Corolla. The next minute he has bought a Benz. While you are still looking, he has got moved to his own house. While you are still looking, he just gets bigger and bigger. This is the principle. That means God is interested in you getting bigger and bigger. That's what he wants. So here they are complaining, Lord, he has 10 pounds. Why are you giving him more? You see, it can never be enough with God to bless you. That's what he's saying. He can never bless you and say, okay. No. This is the principle, verse 26. He says, for I say unto you, that everyone which had shall be given. And from him that had not, even that he had shall be what? Taken away from him. It's the same thing he said in Matthew. It applies to knowledge. It applies to money. That means it applies to resources. What you want for life. He says, he that had, more be given to him. Okay, 26. He says, for I say unto you that unto everyone which had shall be given. And from him that had not, even that he had shall be what? Taken away from him. That means he had something. But he thought he didn't have anything. And so even that thing that he had will be taken away from him. Someone comes to me, the guy. Please, can you give me 3,000 naira? He has. He said, I don't have. I'm managing. What does he do with 3,000 naira? He doesn't know. He bought food. He bought a recharge card. At the end of the day, where's the money? It's gone. But here's the miracle. And that's why I said, thanksgiving works miracles. The miracle would happen when, listen to this. Are you with me?
Yes, Pastor.
Listen to this. I'm about to close. I told you today will be very short. Okay? The guy would had not. Jesus said, even that which he had will be taken away from him. The one who has, he said, more will be given to him in abundance. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Okay. So the guy who had not, Jesus is saying he actually had something. What needed to change was the way he thought about himself. Now look at this. The guy who has not, the day he realizes that I actually have something, Jesus said, more will be given to him. Meaning that he doesn't need anything extra right now. All he has to do is to recognize, hey, I'm alive, praise the Lord. And that thing that he needs will be given to him. That's a miracle. Now, what is the sign that he has recognized that he actually has something? Thanksgiving. When he gives thanks for what he has. The one that he has right now, he's celebrating it. He's thanking God for it. Jesus said, more will be given unto him. So the guy who had, and the guy who had not, they were the same. They both had something. One just thought he didn't have. And guess what? Even what he had, he lost it. But the one who recognized that he had something and was full of thanksgiving, Jesus said, more. You see, it's a principle. Once he recognizes he has something, more will be given to him.
That's why the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. In everything. As long as you still have a tongue, something can happen. Jesus said, you would speak and mountains would move. So as long as you can still talk, something can happen. Something can happen. Jesus said, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful in what? In much. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
That means he that is thankful in that which is least would be thankful in much. Why? Because for sure much is coming. But he has to learn to be thankful in that which is least. A heart of gratitude. I've told you two things that at least you can be thankful for today. You are alive. And as long as you are alive, there is still hope. And even if you die, there can be a resurrection.
Yes.
So that's something to thank God about.
Yes.
Because I made so many mistakes. Yeah, but you are alive. You can change your path.
Yes.
Another thing, you can talk. It says with your mouth, you move mountains. That is something to thank God for. The second thing I want to point to you today before we start dancing is in life. Don't compare yourself with someone else. Because that is one of the reasons for ungratefulness. Comparing your speed, your path with someone else. We are not all the same. We have different paths in life. Because you went to the same secondary school doesn't mean you must be employed in the same company. Because you went to the same secondary school doesn't mean both of you must die at the same time. Come and talk to me. Doesn't mean both of you. No, someone says, I know where my mates are. Some of them are in government houses. I know that's where I should have been now. Some of them are in prison. Some of them are in the mortuary. Do you want to go there? No. So if you're saying no for the bad part, why are you comparing yourself with someone else? See what Jesus told Peter. Go to John 21. Don't compare yourself with someone else that is doing well. And don't compare yourself with someone else that you think is not doing well. Because that one is there too. Say, I saw my secondary school, his classmate. He's now a security guard at supermarket. Huh. It's not that I'm mocking him, but I just thank God for my life. Wrong way of thinking. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
What if it is God that puts him there? In heaven, it is the thing you did, it is the thing that God asked you to do that you did, that God will recognize. If he asked you to be a traffic warden and you went to become a CEO in a company, you just wasted time. You blessed other people. He used you to bless other people. But on the last day, you'll be shocked. You should have been a traffic warden. Praise the Lord. So the guy, I'm saying that to say, don't belittle people. What if it is God that put him there? And then don't compare yourself with others. No, the guy just bought a Toyota Corolla. There are people that don't have cars. They don't even have bike or keke. He bought a Toyota Corolla. And he's happy with the kid. Then he heard his friend that is older than bought a Benz. Now he looks at the car key. He drops it. No, someone who doesn't have a car will be saying, what is wrong with this one? What is wrong with this one? Okay, you have life. Those that are dead, Jesus told us in Luke 16, the rich man in hell, he thought his brothers were still alive, they still have a chance. Are you seeing it?
Yes, Pastor.
So just like you think the guy who is sad because his friend got a Benz and he has the latest year Corolla, but he's not happy. You think he's strange. That's why it should be strange to you. But that's how it should be strange to you when you try to compare yourself with someone else. Because someone else who doesn't have what you have think something is wrong. And even if everybody has what you're going to say, me, my own, the least, I'm the one there. So there's nobody to envy me. I'm not envying others. It doesn't mean anything. You have something. John 21. I love Jesus so much. Verse 20. Well, let's start from verse 18. John 21, verse 18. If you're there, say, I'm there.
I'm there.
If you're not there, say, wait for me. I'm waiting for someone. Okay. Have you gotten? All right. Verse 18. I'll read it. Look into your Bible. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou was young, now Jesus is talking to Peter. When thou was young, thou gettest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. Okay, KJV can be very strange. What he's saying to Peter is, when you were young, you wore your clothes and went anywhere you want to. Like some of you now. Where are you going to? But angry. And nobody can stop you. So Jesus is talking about that. All right, 18 again. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall get thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. So he's saying, when you were young, you dressed yourself up and you went wherever you liked. But when you are old, someone else, you will stretch forth your hand. And someone else will clothe you and carry you to where you don't want to go. If Jesus said they will carry you to where you don't want to go, where do you think that place is? You're about to die. Right? That's the only place nobody wants to go to. So he was telling him, look at it, verse 19. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. So John is saying, Jesus said that to show him that his death will not be a natural death. All right? People will kill him. So Peter, think about it, all his life he knew how he was going to go. He knew. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Now remember, are you in this place?
Yes.
This conversation, it was not just Jesus and Peter. Other disciples were there too. Okay?
Yes.
And Jesus was talking to Peter. Now, Jesus has told, number one, how he would die. I think we all also want to know how number two would die. Are we together?
Yes.
Number three, number four, number five. All of us, let us know how we would die. So look at this. So now you're Peter. Jesus just told you how you die. You want to know. It's not only me now. It's not only me that will die. So look at this. Verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, saith the disciple whom Jesus loved, following. So Peter turned and saw John. All right? Walking with them, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is it that betrayed thee? Okay. Verse 21. Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Actually, what he was saying was, Jesus just told him how he would die. So he was asking Jesus, okay, how about this one? How would he die? He wanted the information, praise the Lord. Look at Jesus' response. Verse 23, 22. Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Jesus said, what if I decide he should not die? What's your business? You follow me. That is Jesus' message for anybody who is comparing himself with another person. He says, what's your business? Your focus should be following me, not how this other person would end up in life. Don't care how they would die. Don't care how they are living their life. Are you in this place? Don't care. Your focus should be what? Your walk with God. You have some folks that they go around looking for everybody who's a Christian and all the wrong things they are doing. Let me tell you something. Jesus said something that is so wonderful. He said that the one who is seeing a speck in his brother's eye should first and foremost remove the log from his own eye. Are you in this place? Did you hear what he said? He said, the one who is seeing a speck in his brother's eye should first and foremost remove the log from his own eye. What does that mean? It means anybody who can see a speck in his brother's eye definitely has a log in his own eye. And that was why when they brought the woman, because they were not listening to him when he said that, when they brought the woman in John chapter 8 who was caught in adultery, and he said, Master, this one was caught in the very act. Moses said she should be stoned, but what are you saying? It was the same response he gave them. He said, the one who has not sinned, be the first to do it. The one who can see a speck in someone's eye definitely has a log. Let me tell you why. Love covers a multitude of sin. If someone is doing something wrong, your response would be you want that person to change for good. Not to compare yourself with the person and say, can't you see what he's doing and look at me? I'm the real Christian. No. Now, bringing this back to Thanksgiving. When you're thanking God, forget about someone else. Are you in this place? Forget about other people, your classmates. You say, all my friends in the village, they are still there. See me now. No. When God made you, he made you alone. I told you, was it on Sunday, that everybody will stand alone before God. He's not going to compare you to someone else. He'll ask you, you're listening to me, right?
Yes.
John the Baptist, think about it. The man spent his adult life in the wilderness preparing for ministry. And his ministry lasted how long? Just 6 months. Think about it. When Jesus came, that was the end of his ministry. Now, what if he had said that, oh, I am the one who introduced Jesus to the world. So that means my ministry should what? Continue. It should blossom. But that was not God's plan. He already had a big role to play. God's plan was, this is the man that will introduce Jesus and make his path straight. Once he had done that, that was it. If John had started comparing himself with Jesus, someone carnally could have said it's true now. After all, he's older. He started ministry before him. Jesus should be his mentee. He should be Jesus' mentor. Naturally, that's how you would think. But I'm saying that to say, each man has his own purpose. God has a plan for each person individually. It doesn't matter if you are twins. I've seen twins. Not all twins die the same time. Are you in this place? They didn't even come out the same time. Did they come out the same time? So you have Taiwo and Kendi. Remember Esau and Jacob? And how Esau wanted to come out and Jacob held his leg. So they didn't even come out the same time. They're not living the same time. They have different purposes for their life. But when you compare yourself, you see that person. You know, there's some people who try to project themselves like they are successful just to show people that they are not failing. Every time. Okay. When he was more prosperous than this guy, he started talking about how wherever God blesses, it will show. Now, this guy has overtaken him. He's trying to say, it's not about money. It's not about money. He's living his life for someone else, and he doesn't know it. Listen, if you're playing football and you score an own goal, if you like, shout goal. Yes, you dribbled your teammates. You dribbled them and you scored the goal. Did you win anything? No. Why? Because you were playing with the wrong team. You were on the wrong side. And so if you're too busy comparing yourself with someone else until that person's purpose, you take it as your own. It doesn't matter how successful you are in someone else's purpose, you are wasting time. Have you seen the Olympics when 200 meter race or 100 meter dash? Have you seen where they are running?
Yes, Pastor.
Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
That one, that competition, I'll do boom, and then they'll start running. Okay. All right. If you notice, they are all on a lane. Each man on his own lane. Now imagine if this guy was running and he saw this one must overtake him. He's running. So then he enters his lane and push him. And then he starts running on the person's lane. He can get there first. He has conquered number two. But would he win anything? Why? He should have remained on his own lane. Listen, if God placed you as number three somewhere, stay there. Don't fight to be number one where God did not send you. Because you regret it. And so when you're conscious of that, that your existence is not dependent on someone else's existence, your success is not dependent on someone else's failure. And if you think you're failing, I said something once. I said, because someone is succeeding doesn't mean you're failing.
Yes.
Are you in this place?
Yes.
And because someone is failing doesn't mean you are succeeding. Jesus told Peter, follow thou me. Mind your business. Follow thou me. When you see things this way, then you stop feeling sad and comprehensive. I'm still living in self-contained. Meanwhile, so and so, leave them alone. Say, God, thank you, I have a place to stay. And I know nothing is difficult for you. I might be starting here today, but I know it only gets better with you. How can you tell God that and something will not change? Something will change. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Something will change. And so today, I'm telling you, you can work a miracle in your life. While we are praising and dancing, don't look at someone else. Let me tell you something. When you come to church and it's time for praise or worship, let's start with worship, and you are just worshiping, and the guy with the 9 suits is just looking around, don't stop. Maybe God has not been good to him. Are you in this place? No, you don't know. Maybe God offended him in his mind. But God has been good to you. And so you would worship with all your heart. And he says, when you recognize that God has done something for you, more will be given you. When we are praising and we're dancing, and some people can say, why is this one dancing like this? You know, listen, dance has no monitor. There's no principle of dance. Dance anyhow you want to dance. Dance according to the way God has been good to you. So if God has not been good to you, we can understand why you're doing like this. If God has been good small, you can do like this. To the left, to the right. But if God has been good to you, and that means he's ready to give you more.
Yes.
He's ready. So are you ready?
Yes, Pastor.
You've been faithful, Lord, from the ages.